I wonder if there have been times in your life when you have become acutely aware of your body, of its needs, of its need for care. During illness, perhaps, or pregnancy, or perhaps when your body has been overworked, overstressed, or underloved by the world around you. Most of us, I'm guessing, know just how it feels to be part of a society that values the mind over the body, thinking over feeling, that values what the body can produce over who we each are as bodies. The role and the priority of the body have long been culturally diminished. Yet we begin our church year with the anticipation of the bodily birth of Jesus. We begin by anticipating the reality of God entering into becoming human flesh. Jesus walked among us, a human being, a body among bodies. He touched, he healed, he loved. And by his life, death, and resurrection, he taught us the importance, the sanctity of this embodied earthly life. At the Last Supper, Jesus shared with his friends, he broke bread and said to them, "This is my body." We hear these words repeated every time we gather around this table. "This is my body," Jesus said. Not my ideas or my teachings or my thoughts. Jesus tells us to remember his body. His body that was broken by a world that rejected him and his message of love. A world that was threatened by his affirmation that all bodies are beloved of God. I do not have a body. I am a body. In this earthly life, there is absolutely no separation between bits of me, between my mind, my spirit, and my physical self. I am an inseparable whole. Each human body is a wondrous and truly awesome reality. By adulthood, we each have about 60,000 miles of blood vessels. A resting human body puts out the electrical equivalent of a 100-watt light bulb. And over half of our body's cells belong to our microbiome, that incredible colony of microscopic life found predominantly in the gut that we are only just beginning to understand. And these cells, an essential part of us, aren't human. It's amazing. Each of us, in all our splendid, intricate, and complex variety, a wondrous expression of the creativity of life on this planet, of the creativity that is God and is expressed through all life. It's just amazing. And so I don't believe, then, that during Lent, we are called to dominate our marvelous bodies, to batter and shame them into submission through punishing spiritual disciplines, to further harm or subjugate bodies which are stifled and limited by the way this world would have us live. Instead, I believe that we're called to observe a holy season of deep listening and response to the body, of reconciliation with God by returning to our embodiedness. Paul asks in his first letter to the Corinthians, "Do you not know that your body is a temple of the Holy Spirit within you?" And so we commit to spiritual disciplines that teach us how to be faithfully embodied. We commit to the deep goodness of our embodiedness with our attention and our intention, and it's not easy, but we commit and we do our best. It's not easy because our minds tend to get in the way. It is our minds, conditioned by the realities of a harsh society that would have us, as Jesus says in our gospel reading, that would have us practice our piety before others in order to be seen by them. It's the work of the mind that gets us all caught up in the doing, in needing to be seen doing what everyone else is doing or doing what we think we should be doing. But Jesus is redirecting us. "Let your spiritual practices be done in secret," he tells us. "There will be the reward from God who sees in secret." Jesus is pointing us to that which is concealed, to our being, to our experience of embodiment. That's where we encounter the God in whom we live and move and have our being. Our Lenten disciplines of self-denial and fasting give us little choice but to listen to our bodies, to learn about our whole selves, our being within which God dwells and through which the Holy Spirit flows, through listening, learning, and responding with a right reverence to our bodies, we can come to know the great wisdom and the great love bound up in our physical embodied reality. Lent can be then a season dedicated to fully experiencing our embodiedness, of inviting the discomforts of recognizing all the ways in which we've become detached from our whole selves, our patterns of habitual thinking, our habits of distracted behaviors, all the things that draw us away from our being and so away from God. In this season, we let go of the quick comforts we might mindlessly offer ourselves in daily life, and we return to our embodied dependence on God. Our Lenten disciplines can teach us how to fall in love with our God-gifted embodied reality and restore a neglected fullness of relationship with God within and through this precious body. Necessary preparation for the Good Friday and Easter Sunday that are to come. The ashes we receive this evening are a sign of our mortality and our penitence, yes, but they also serve as a mark of our commitment to the remarkable temporal reality that is the physical body, our embodiment. Our ashes will also mark our call to place this miraculous gift of flesh and blood, of life, at the very center of all that we do and of all that we are, so that we might just begin to grasp all that truly can be for our own lives and for the world around us. May yours be a holy Lent of revelatory awareness of your embodiment and restored connection to the indwelling presence of God's freely given love.